Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Matthew Schmidt, owner of The Tofu Shop, and they provide the North Coast of California with locally made organic artisan tofu and soy products, and this has been for over 30 years now. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the actual making of tofu. Now, the first thing that is kind of interesting to me is I've cooked soybeans before, and I just, you know, I soak them, I rinse them, and then I put them whole in a pot with some water, and I cook them. But when you make tofu, you don't use the whole beans.
Well, the way we make tofu is we soak the beans. Uh-huh. We soak them overnight, you know, a good 12 hours. If it's really cold outside, we'll add a little warm water to speed up the soak process. After they're soaked, we rinse the soak water off and grind them up. We have what we call a grinder. It's a disintegrator. We add a little bit of water to it, and you end up with a slurry texture, which then gets stirred into a larger pot full of boiling water. And there the slurry gets boiled for not long, really, for about 10 minutes. So that's the cooking process. From there, we pump the slurry, the cooked slurry, through a press, kind of like an apple cider press, if you could imagine. We press out the liquid from the pulp. The liquid is soy milk, and that's what the tofu is made from. The pulp is a byproduct. It's a fiber cellulose leftover product, and we press as much of the liquid out of it as possible, so it's kind of a dense, moist cake when we're done. That is a byproduct which we give to local ranchers for their animal feed.
Oh, okay. What a great use for that.
Oh, it's great for them. Yeah, they get really lean meat, and they take it off our hands. We generate a lot of it every day, so it's a good trade.
And so then you've got soy milk, and that's really what tofu is made out of.
That's true. Some of the milk, actually, we bottle as a beverage, and we do that once a week. The rest of the milk, though, most of it we curdle as part of the tofu-making process. We've got a couple different curdling agents or coagulants that we use. Most of the tofu we make is curdled with magnesium chloride, which is a trace mineral from seawater. It's more of Japanese-style tofu. Comes in powder form, and we dissolve it in water, and you end up with our brine, which is very similar to seawater. We stir that, a beaker of it, into a pot of hot milk, and it causes the milk to turn, just like as if you were adding lemon juice to milk. It kind of gets thick. Uh-huh. So that's the curdling action, and it separates into curds and whey. So you end up with a big pot of this light yellow liquid whey with big fluffy curds floating in the middle, which is going to become the tofu. Uh-huh. We strain off the whey and then ladle those curds into our big forming boxes, which are stainless steel boxes with holes in the sides and the bottom. And we line the boxes with cheesecloth and ladle the curds in there and then fold the cheesecloth over, put a lid on top, which is slightly smaller than the box, so it'll press down inside. And then we put a press on that box, which forces the curds into a big rectangular block, 30-pound block of tofu.
It sounds just like making cheese.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when you make that, is that like the base product for your line of all your tofu products? Is that like a starting point? And then you make like the tofu sausage sort of products out of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Depending upon how much whey is left in or how thick the milk is, if you use a different ratio of water to beans, you might end up with a thicker block of tofu. Or if you take out more and more of the whey and divide the curds into three boxes instead of two, and press it longer, you can end up with a super, super firm tofu. So we make different styles for our different products, depending upon what we need for that product.
Well, you talk about making a traditional Japanese tofu. Is that like the lighter, the more airy, the fluffier it is? Is that what is considered the highest quality of tofu?
I've read that the nigari tofu, which we make, as opposed to the other coagulant that we use, calcium sulfate, produces a little sweeter, more delicate tofu flavor. It's kind of in the taste buds of the beholder, I think. But we also do use the calcium sulfate, which is the same as gypsum. It's a mineral mined from the earth, and we buy that in pharmaceutical grade. That's more of a Chinese coagulant.
Okay.
So that once again, that gets dissolved in water and stirred into the hot milk. You know, the taste differences are pretty subtle. Probably the average person wouldn't recognize it. One thing about the calcium sulfate tofu is that it has a higher calcium nutritional content, so it's valued by some people for that reason.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering, are some of these things that you're doing with tofu, are they kind of unique to the United States? I mean, I think in China, are they making tofu sausage? Are they making, you know, some of these kind of more wild and crazy things you're doing with it? Is that pretty state-of-the-art all over the world, or is this more of a United States tradition?
I think in Asia, there are so many different styles of tofu and tofu products. I mean, they've been doing this for thousands of years.
Right.
They're way down the road. But when we've developed our product line, we chose products that kind of fit in with the American diet.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a line of burgers. We've got a line of sausage patties.
Uh-huh.
We have a line of smoke sticks. We have a smokehouse. And then the various spreads and things. So our particular product line is definitely, you know, geared more towards the American diet.
How do you decide to develop new products? How do those ideas come to you, and how do you decide to pursue them, and then who does that?
Well, over the years, we've slowly added the new products, you know, and just typically if we decide to pick up a new product line to expand our offering and hopefully increase our sales, we'll develop one recipe. And often over the years, I must tell you that most of our really successful products have come from our employees that have felt that this would be a good addition. So hats off to them, because there's been a lot of people involved with a lot of products over the years. But we'll do some experimenting and try to come up with a good recipe. And then what we also do is, instead of just having one flavor of that particular product, we'll offer three different choices. We'll have like an original, a barbecue, and a spicy flavor, something like that, of the same product. And then we'll go ahead and do some taste testing and some blind tests. And sometimes we've gone into stores and tried to get feedback from community members until we come up with the perfect flavor, the perfect texture. That's how we start.
Great. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Matthew Schmidt about tofu. Thank you so much, Matthew.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.